Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, music, interviews, and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, health, and harmony for all. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. In this episode, we're featuring some recent events that's happening throughout the United States. This information is being shared in the hopes that you'll have a chance to hear news that is being censored otherwise. We understand that based on the natural law of correspondence, also known as we sow, we reap, what goes around eventually comes around, that human freedom and humanity's health depend on animal liberation. So as long as humanity, the global humanity, refuses to extend freedom to those individuals enslaved in the biomedical vaccine laboratories and animal agriculture, including the dairy and egg industry, and so on and so forth, then we will also be exploited and manipulated and deceived and enslaved. So let's get this train rolling into freedom. Be fair, be vegan, and health for all. With sincerity, we'll start out with a plant-based naturopath, Dr. Pam Popper in Ohio. Her wellness, health, and nutrition program, Wellness Forum Health, and she is one of the co-founders of Make Americans Free Again. We'll hear a little bit about that, and then we'll go into more vegan social scientist work by other professionals. The following clips are shortened, edited versions. Thanks again for listening. And as we all work together to manifest freedom and understanding and respect.
I've been in the healthcare business for about 25 years, and during the last 25 years, what I've watched is an increasing amount of what I call medical tyranny. And that's what we're experiencing right now, is a huge blown-up episode of medical tyranny. Now, historically, medical tyranny has taken these kinds of forms. It's like when a hospital says to an employee, you can't work here unless you get a flu shot. Or a psychiatrist says to a parent, if you don't put your child on Risperdal for his behavior problems, I'm going to report you to Child Protective Services. Or when a legislature passes a law saying that all children must be fully vaccinated in order to go to school. There are lots more examples, but I think you get the idea. And it's been getting worse for the last 25 years that I've known about it, all right? And there have been a lot of people who've worked on this issue and tried very, very hard to keep bad things from happening, but really not very successfully so, and we're going to need to talk about that a little bit. So when this whole thing first started last March, I recognized right away what was going on. Some of you may have seen my early March video where I said the Chinese were involved and it wasn't a real pandemic, and all this sort of thing. Took a lot of heat for it at the time, but if you go back and watch that video, I was really spot on, and everything I said that was going to happen actually happened. So if we're going to get ourselves out from under this, one of the first things we have to do is we have to look at what has been done historically to try to fight medical freedom and what went on before we got involved to fight medical freedom, because if it didn't work, and it hasn't, because we're not yet a free people, then we don't want to make those same mistakes. So all the years that I was in business and working on these issues, the types of things that people would do to try to fight these terrible things from happening would be petitions and declarations. Well, we've certainly had a lot of those in the last year, and I think one of them has been signed by 500,000 people and 100,000 health professionals, and look around, didn't make much difference, did it? It never has. Another thing people would do is prepare educational packets and talks to give in front of elected officials. Well, I don't think that that's worked out for 25 years, and it certainly hasn't worked out in the last year. I mean, you could watch on YouTube videos of people making presentations in front of mayors and city councils and legislatures and the whole nine yards. Really hasn't made any difference so far. I'll give you an exception in just a minute here. And then we bring in expert witnesses. Well, that hasn't worked out very well either, has it? We've got some of the top scientists in the world who've been speaking out about this. Hasn't worked. Never worked in the last 25 years either. And I could go on, but the bottom line, write to your legislator. How many of you have been writing to your legislators and they have not unlocked your state? Send emails to your legislators. Protests, by the way. And have you noticed the protests keep getting bigger, but nothing happens? So they're a form of recreation, and I support them a lot. It's a way for us to meet people to join our effort that works. But if you've noticed, they've had millions of people in Europe, and things have gotten worse. They're not better. So I think it's really important to assess this so that we don't spend a lot of time and energy doing the same things that have already been done and not gone very well at all. So there's one thing that's been going on for a year that's a little bit unique. It wasn't going on with the vaccine bills and all that sort of thing. It's filing lawsuits, and there have been about, from my reckoning, about 5,000 lawsuits filed in the United States since this started. And there have been a couple of victories, a couple of churches and synagogues won some decisions, but 99.9% of those lawsuits have failed. Okay, so we have to look at why that happened. And, of course, this sounds all very depressing, but I'll tell you what's really depressing is when you keep doing the same thing again and again, hoping for different results, and then you just demoralize people a lot. So we decided that protests and declarations and petitions and emails to legislators and scientific presentations and scientific packets and expert testimony probably weren't going to help us much. If it didn't work for 25 years, not going to work with us. And we took a look at the time last summer when I was getting involved in starting Make Americans Free Again. We looked at, I don't know, a couple thousand lawsuits that had been lost, and we noticed something really interesting in that in those lawsuits, and that is that the common theme was that somebody would sue the state or the governor or both or the health department and claim that their constitutional rights were being violated. And they are, by the way. That's a true statement. But then the state comes back and says, but it's an emergency. And then the judge decides that because the emergency powers of the governor are pretty broad, that they just would throw the case out. And that would be the excuse, it's an emergency. And this happened time after time after time after time after time. So we decided that the reason for all of this is there's been a false declaration of an emergency. That's the problem. And if you don't go after that, nothing is going to go well, all right? As long as they can come back and say it's an emergency, there's no progress going to get made. So we decided that what we would do is file a lawsuit starting in Ohio, against the state of Ohio, the governor, and the health department, saying that there is and was no emergency. The officials knew it. Essentially, we didn't say it, but they were committing fraud. And that there was and is no justification for any of the actions that have been taken. So let me tell you what happened in Ohio, because I want to make it clear that we win when we file. We start winning when we file this type of lawsuit. So we have some very, very good intelligence, and more coming out all the time, showing that our little emperor was involved in the planning of this entire event. And Ohio was chosen as the first state to lock down. We were the first to do it. We locked down hard. We were the first to close the schools. And then all the other states did exactly what our state did. And one of the reasons why they did that was they thought that a Midwestern conservative state led by, at the time, a very popular governor would play well on the news shows. He could be, he would do well on Fox News. He'd do well on CNBC and MSN and some of the other more liberal networks. On August 31st, our little emperor was talking about setting up isolation camps, and he ordered every public university and college to set aside space. Our quick estimation was that he was going to lock up 20 to 30,000 people, and he let it slip that the federal government paid a per diem for everybody he locked up. And we also had a date. We actually knew the date of the second lockdown, and it turned out to be accurate, and we were going to be the first state to lock down again. And here's what happened. The evening of August 31st, our attorney filed our lawsuit saying there is and was no emergency, there is and was no justification for any of this. That was the last we ever heard about isolation camps. There was no shutdown here. We've had everything is open. I mean, the big things like, having a concert with, 3,000 people in a theater, you can't do that, but and it's not wonderful here. It's just 100 times better here than it is in any of the other affected states. So That's how we started. We also sued the federal government, you know, the whole alphabet soup of agencies, and accused them of the same thing. And then we started working with other states, and we've sued in New Mexico. We've sued in Maine. We have another state that will be probably filing in April, and another one after that may make it in April, May for sure, and more and more states coming on to do this. And the whole idea of this is to file in every state that's affected. So we're going to file in about 47 states, and we only have to win one. And we don't even have to win it at trial. We just win one for discovery. Discovery is where you get all the documents that you're asking for, and we're asking for documents from the states and the feds. Once we have those documents, this all starts to fall apart because we know what they say, all right? So this has been, you know, so the whole idea is file in all 47 states that are affected, and then we just, the luck will take care of it after that. You don't have to be real lucky to win one out of 47 tries, right? So that's what our big plan is, all right? And so far it's working great. And in the two states we filed, we've already seen movement to try and open up. They get very worried because when you say there's no emergency, the government can't say as its defense it's an emergency. They actually have to prove it's not. And our attorney actually said during a court hearing here in Ohio, when they were when the other side was there, he said, listen, this would be so easy. You guys claim there's an emergency. If you prove it, and you could do it real quickly by giving us all these documents, then think of the incredible press conference that you could have. You know, you prove Tom Renz and Pam Popper wrong. Other governors and other states would be sending you thank you notes for taking care of this mess and all this kind of thing. It would be fabulous. So why don't you just come up with the documents and get this over with already? And we can only think of one reason why you're not doing that, and that's because there really isn't an emergency, and we know that that's the case.
We're listening to Dr. Pam Popper, a naturopath in Ohio. That's from her meeting on March 25th, 2021, with her organization, Make Americans Free Again. And here's a short clip with more related information from Dr. Pam Popper.
This is a combination Make Americans Free Again Ohio Stands Up announcement I'm going to share with you. So if you're interested in joining our movement after you hear what I have to say, send me an email at pampopper@msn.com. I do conference calls every week at noon on Thursday to help people learn about what we're doing and to get involved so that we can make all of this go away faster. Okay, so and first I'm going to read the press release and then I'm going to read something else to you. In March of 2020, the Department of Health and Human Services took the unprecedented step of issuing a new rule for the way that COVID-19 deaths were counted. The rule created a system that counted COVID-19 deaths differently from any other cause of death, and that would result in COVID-19 being the underlying cause of death more often than not. The result is that deaths from COVID-19 have been dramatically inflated as compared to any other cause of death. To make matters worse, the Department of Health and Human Services and state partners then began using case counts for COVID-19 as a method for determining policy. This is done using PCR testing as a basis for diagnosis, despite the fact that most test kits used include a disclaimer stating that they should not be used to diagnose COVID-19. We submitted this information to the federal court. Under federal law, the presentation of statistics must be done in a way to ensure the integrity, quality, and utility of the federal statistical system. The new motion, filed 2-3-2021, requests a temporary restraining order and that DHHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, show cause for these actions which indisputably are not meeting the integrity, quality, and utility standards required. Quote, while we recognize that COVID-19 is a real virus that has hurt and killed people, it is indisputable that the response has always been focused more on fear than science. We strongly believe that policy and personal decisions about protecting yourself and your family should be made with honest data and not based on misleading information prevented to stoke fear. It is time for the COVID agenda to end and for science to step in. Now, I'm going to read to you just a little bit from the lawsuit, and you can go to makeamericansfreeagain.com, and you'll see that we posted it there in its entirety. It's about a 12-page temporary restraining order and show cause action. So I just want to tell you what it says. It pursuant and all that kind of stuff, I'll forget all of that. We're asking for a temporary restraining order, or TRO, and a preliminary injunction against the defendants, which is the Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control, quote, the use of the March 24th, 2020 rule, changing the death reporting procedures as applied to only one disease, COVID-19. The impact of this injunctive relief would be to maintain the status quo during the course of this proceeding by requiring death reporting for COVID-19 to be done in the way that every other known disease is reported until such time as this case progresses further, and the use of case reporting based on unreliable testing procedures such as PCR testing without the proper creation of a national standard for PCR tests and a uniform definition of what a case is. Plaintiffs also request that the court issue an order to show cause requiring the defendants to appear and demonstrate the following. A, that PCR testing is by itself an accurate means of diagnosing the COVID-19 disease. B, that the number of COVID-19 deaths reported from DHHS agencies accurately represents the number of people that have died as a direct result of COVID-19 disease. And C, that the number of COVID-19 deaths reported from DHHS agencies is not statistically higher as reported under the existing rule than they would have been had those deaths been accounted for under the rules laid out in the 2003 Coroner's Handbook. In addition, under the show cause action section of the lawsuit, given the importance of presenting honest data in a situation such as that which we are facing in the United States, we also ask the court to order cause be shown for scientific peer-reviewed proof of asymptomatic spread, scientific proof that COVID-19 is spread by asymptomatic school-aged children, scientific proof of the effectiveness of cloth and paper masks at preventing the spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, scientific proof that face masks do not create other negative consequences for those who wear them, including loss of oxygen, that the outcomes of the response to COVID-19, including masking, business closures, stay-at-home orders, travel restrictions, and other such policies, have resulted in fewer COVID-19 deaths when counted using traditional guidelines than increases in domestic violence, drug overdoses, deaths, and suicides, and the rate of death per confirmed case of COVID-19 in individuals under 60 years of age is statistically higher than the rate of death in individuals under 60 years of age for influenza based on the dominant flu strains from the past 5 years. And we filed that on Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon, with the federal court. So we have now filed an action in the state of Ohio challenging the emergency declaration, in New Mexico challenging the emergency declaration. We have filed a lawsuit against the federal agencies back in December challenging the emergency declaration. We have filed for a temporary restraining order and a show cause order to the agencies responsible for this.
That was plant-based Dr. Pam Popper, a naturopath in Ohio. That was a short clip from her educational video series, and that was February 6, 2021. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue hearing from some social scientists, two vegans.
Hi, I'm Erin Daly-Stelmack of Veterans Inc., and you're listening to WCUW 91.3 FM Worcester.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, and online at WCUW.org.
Democracy Now! Airs from 1 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday on WCUW, your community radio station.
Welcome back to the break. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Darrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now we'll be hearing from Susan Pitcairn and Dr. Will Tuttle in California. This is just a short clip of Susan Pitcairn's presentation, and she recorded her conversation with Dr. Will Tuttle. The video recording is titled, What's Going On? Published March 24th, 2021.
Hi, this is Susan. A few days ago, we had a fascinating and wonderful visit from an old friend, Will Tuttle, and we have had a lot in common with how we've been experiencing this last year. We had a chat about it. And before I share this with you, I just wanted to clarify, because I know that many people really have suffered from this pandemic in the last year. that we're not saying that there aren't some real health issues that people have had, and deaths. You know, you may have known someone yourself who's passed away from this, and we're sad about that. That's too bad. What we are saying is that just if you look at it objectively compared to other things, like even the 1968-69 Hong Kong flu, which was hardly noticeable for many of us, many more people died. And in an ordinary year, a lot of people die of the flu, and the overall mortality statistics really aren't that different. In any case, it didn't seem to either of us to really warrant the just a shocking level of shutdown and repression of freedom. Likewise, we wanted to add that we realize that for those in the healthcare professions, this is really a challenging time, and some understand and some maybe don't understand so well how much their profession is really controlled from the top down by forces that are much bigger than their simple, heartfelt, and honest desire to help people. Many doctors have lost their job or had it threatened by questioning this narrative. And if you can't question things with an open mind, you have to ask, do we really have a free society anymore? So Will and I are both people who've been trained in social sciences and humanities, and it's been our job to look at those things, to look at those deeper, more core issues. So take a look. Please listen with open mind and open heart, and enjoy. We have a visitor here today, Dr. Will Tuttle, the author of The World Peace Diet. And he's a prominent vegan activist as well as an excellent musician, as you just saw in the introduction.
Well, I think what we see happening here is the repression of the individual, and based on a false medical narrative that's just designed to create a lot of fear in people in order to take away their freedom and take away their economic wherewithal.
Who would have known it exactly a year ago when this stuff began? You know, this is mid-March in 2021. Who would have guessed?
No, I know. I
would
thought,
come to this.
I never thought people would go along with something that is so anti-science.
Recently, the CDC came out with a study, supposedly. There's the biggest one, the best and the biggest and multi-million dollar study. And they said, and this is what they put out to the media, which is basically controlled by Big Pharma and AIDS come and all that. So that masks are indeed effective at reducing cases and reducing deaths. So, but you dig into it. You look, you find this on thehighwire.com. You dig into the study, several pages in there. It's only like 0.5%.
Right.
You know, it's
like 0.5%.
So we're going to destroy our culture, our connection over that.
And actually, in that study, they say they may be effective.
Yeah.
They may be effective.
Okay.
Is what they actually say. So the thing is, we know just intuitively there's four ways that we human beings expel toxins, which is the essential activity, right? We have urine, we have feces, we have our skin, perspiration, and we have breath. We breathe out. This is how we keep ourselves clean and how we stay healthy. If you start blocking that, people are breathing in their own toxins, recycling all kinds of things that should be expelled.
Not to mention the particles from the mask itself.
But, right, exactly. Yeah. Toxic chemicals from the mask itself, plus reducing oxygen and increasing carbon dioxide levels, and there's been a whole range of physical problems that are coming from this and psychological problems that are coming from this, and it's been going on for a year and we still see this happening. And so my appeal, I think, really to the world is that we just connect with our breathing and connect with what it is to be a human being and realize that we are being played, that we are being manipulated and dominated and exploited. And the other appeal I would have really is that we look at our treatment of animals and nature, because I think a lot of this comes out of the fundamental shame that we feel for heartlessly exploiting billions of animals unnecessarily, doing to them what we would not want to have done to us, taking away their breath, taking away their life. And I think because of that, we've sown these seeds.
It's karmic.
Yeah, of being. We are the force that causes these cows and pigs and chickens to be killed. They're being terrified because of us. They can't see us, right? I just go to the store and I buy a piece of meat or dairy.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, but someone does,
yeah,
right?
Someone
if I do that, then I'm the invisible harmer of these animals. And so we're sowing those seeds. So what happens, like you say, karma, so that comes back. And so now we as a society are doing this billions of times, all of us, basically everyone's eating animal foods. So now we are terrified of invisible harmers that are all, we can't see them. Mm-hmm. In the medieval period, of course, it was invisible spirits, and so we had elaborate religious powers that were the church and at that time that would protect us from the evil mm-hmm. demons that would cause plagues and so forth. And now, of course, the priesthood is the doctors, the high priest yeah. is Fauci. We have this implicit, very deep, I think it's a very deep psychological need to as a herd, in a sense, as people yeah. coming together, that we all do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
We're indoctrinated
like
together,
kind of.
Right, into a cult mentality mm-hmm. that we all have to engage in this behavior because the authority figures mm-hmm. have told us that this is what we have to do. This
yeah.
is the priesthood.
And so all this indoctrination that we've gotten 24/7 through the media about how terrible this disease is when it really isn't, has gotten people into this state of vulnerability and fear.
Right.
Okay, if only you wear a mask, you social distance, you lock down your business, you make these sacrifices, and you take the vaccine for the greater good, then you will be okay. And there's always a strong charismatic leader, and we have our Fauci's and our Gates and so on. And if you are to dare to question the doctrine, that is like consorting with the demons, consorting with the devil. So people who question, all of this narrative, the dissenters with it, even people that are really expertise in their field, are seen as being bad or being wrong, and it's like, don't listen to them, censor them.
They have to be censored.
They have to be
right.
censored, and that's exactly what happens in a cult. The narrative can't be questioned if you can't even hear the other side of the story.
Right.
So it's very hard to get people out of cults, but it can be done. So based on what we know from cult psychology, the first thing really is to remove yourself or another from the constant influence of the cult. So that might mean turn off the TV, basically. Point out to yourself, to another, the collateral damage, all the suicides, the health problems, the fact that it's destroying people's economies and businesses and livelihoods and cultural events and everything we value in life, really. Help them question the medical doctrine, the narrative that's being presented. And there's so many sources, if you look around, that contradict what they're saying officially. And help a person or yourself reintegrate into positive things in life, recovery groups, do fun stuff, go for a hike, have get together with people. Support spiritual self-reliance, okay, not based upon egoic things, but just upon a real connection with your heart. And finally, I think it helps to remember that everything that's not really true tends to self-destruct over time. I think all this is going to come out. It is a matter of time.
So the liberation of humanity is possible, and it is actually, I think, inevitable, ultimately, but it really requires us to liberate animals and liberate nature, liberate those beings that we are dominating.
It's
let ecosystems thrive.
Do unto
others
as we would have done
right.
unto us.
That's
yeah.
it. It's
yeah.
the golden rule.
It is. It's the bottom line of all
as
religion.
As you sow,
really.
So shall you
yeah.
reap. You
yeah.
know, it's the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. yeah.
That was Susan Pitcairn and Dr. Will Tuttle.
Thanks for watching.
And much thanks for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We just heard my edited, shortened version of Susan Pitcairn's video called What's Going On? The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. We'll be joined by Carrie Plummer on the beautiful Upper Peninsula in Michigan. And Carrie is a founding member of Northern Vegans. Tremendous work they do, a vegan circus, and they're hosting an upcoming webinar, Raising Vegan Cats and Dogs. And she'll also be giving a lot of information about holistic health as well. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, wishing you a good day. This is Ellie Sarti, founder of Compassion Arts.